It has already been well worth the trip, and just thankful to be able to be here. My heart has been, I've been rejoicing all week in hearing about the souls that have been saved. That's big. That's big right there. I mean, I'm telling you, the world gets so excited over things that are so little and that pass so fast. But however, thank God we get to rejoice in the goodness of our God and all that He's done. And I'm very grateful for that. Amen. Thank God for that. I saw, is that Lauren? Is that her name? Laura? And she came by me. She come just in here just a bouncing and smiling. I said, did anything happen to you this week? She said, I got saved. And I thought, praise God, that was worth the drive down here. Amen. And some folks, so I just don't know about all that. I don't know about people getting saved. And I don't know if God can save more than this. And I say this, and I want this, this might need to go on my tombstone. The reason you don't get blessed is because you don't believe nothing. Somebody help me now. But I'm telling you, I want to believe my God because He can and does do great and mighty things. Amen. And He just lets us have a little part in that. And I'm glad that He does. Amen. I'm just grateful for that. If you will, take your Bibles tonight, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight will be our text. And that I want to try to just share with you here in just a bit. And I pray it'll be a help and a blessing to you. When you find your place, let's stand together. I'm going to read a passage here that God, I've never dealt with this. And so this will be some fresh bread tonight. And so you guys get to be the guinea pig. Amen. And when I say I'm preaching something fresh, my youth group probably want to take a lap. Amen. And they know usually they go with me, they're probably going to get a rerun, but not tonight. What a blessing. Amen. And but it's the Lord's anyway. And if He don't touch it, it really doesn't matter what I have. The Lord's going to have to help us. Amen. And I know one thing, I'm not too good, but His book sure is good. How many of you got held up by the big train tonight? How many? I mean, we're coming in. That's the longest train I ever seen in my life. I thought, praise God, y'all grow everything big down here in Packlet. But what was good about it is we didn't make that turn, and I finally got to see. I mean, I can go check this off my bucket list. I got to see downtown Packlet. I felt like the Jeffersons. Yeah, we're moving on up, amen. And sure is good to be in church, isn't it? I don't know what to, listen, I know there's important things taking place, but I want to tell you something. I don't know what you battled to get here. Felt like the Lord had me say this, but you're in the right place tonight. And your efforts and labors to get here, whatever you had to endure, whatever went on, you're in the right, we're in the right place doing the right thing tonight. Amen. And I don't know what all the world's doing. I know this. The world's doing a lot to try to reach our young people. They're doing a lot. The enemy is very active in trying to get our church, our young people. And so if he's going to be active, we better be active. Amen. When we lay down, when we let down, when we back up, it's going to be the moment that the enemy is going to get the upper hand. And we better beg God to protect us. Amen. We better beg God to help us. All right. I want to try to give him a heart now. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to begin reading in verse number 23. Hebrews 11, verse number 23. Again, I just don't want to fail to mention this. Thank you to all that have come. Thank you to a good number from our church that's here. And I feel like just getting to preach with the home team tonight. And so I'm very thankful for all of you. I know everybody else has been busy and you're tired. I know how hard our folks have worked, how busy you've been. And thank you for being here to help us tonight. Hebrews 11, verse number 23. The Bible said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches. Did you get that? The reproach in Christ or of Christ was greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Thank you for standing. You can be seated tonight. And I want to look at the text this evening. I'll try to give my title in just a bit. And but you, will you pray with us and pray for us tonight? God to have his way. And there's probably souls waiting in the balances tonight. There's probably some spiritual warfare taking place, trying to keep some folk from selling out. And let's beg God to win tonight. Amen. Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be in your house. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for good reports that we've heard this week in the meeting and how, God, that you have touched hearts this week. We know that it's not of us and we can't do anything, but I'm glad, God, that you can do anything and everything. God, tonight, will you illuminate our hearts and our minds? I pray, God, that you would, those truths, those things I have prayed for myself, God, those things I have prayed for my children this week and today, God, those things that I have prayed for our youth group and these young people tonight, I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to get them out and you'd take the word, God, not me, but the word, and change lives forever. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray, amen and amen. No doubt, probably one of the greatest patriarchs or one of the most well-known people you find in the Word of God is this man by the name of Moses. As a matter of fact, Moses is going to pen the first five books of your Bible. He is a hero. He is a man that is of great respect today. If you go to Israel and you talk about Moses, and there's still such a great respect for him. Now, what's interesting to me is that the Bible doesn't really give a lot of details in the book of Exodus. We'll get that in just a little bit. But the Bible is going to give us a little bit of insight about the relationship between Moses and his mother and his father, Amram and Jochebed. And when you start studying Moses' life, he is a man of faith. As a matter of fact, the scriptures that we just read, these are known as the Hall of Faith and the Wall of Faith. And so you're in a chapter where the Bible reminds us about the importance of faith. And God can do great things. How many believe God can do great things? I believe that. Amen. I believe God can save anybody. Amen. I believe God can still revive and stir. It thrilled my heart tonight to hear the pastor mention things like believing God for revival or starting right, because I believe God can do that, don't you? I do. I believe God can do it. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know this. I know God can do it. Amen? And if you believe God's done and God's dead and God's about to retire, you're in the wrong place tonight because we met together to believe God for some great and mighty things. Amen goes right there. And so you find the great Hall of Faith and you read about the great things that God did. When I begin looking at this, I want to find that prior to Moses' faith, the Bible is going to mention the faith of Moses' parents. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Amram and Jochebed's faith gave Moses opportunity. Moses' faith gave him a reality. Somebody help me now. In other words, there were some people before him, his leadership, his mom and his daddy, that knew something about God. They had enough faith to believe God. We know how that they hid him. I'll get that in just a minute. But the faith that they had, it gave him an opportunity to be something great for God. I've been thinking a lot today about the investments of my parents. I want to say thank God for my mom and daddy. Amen. My mom is still with us. My daddy's been in glory a couple of years now, but I thank God for my heritage. My daddy was an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, banana pudding-eating, King James Bible preaching, amen. And I am proud to be his son. He's in glory. He ran well, and he finished well. But I'm telling you, the older I get, Brother Ben, I am thankful that I had a mama and a daddy that knew something about God. And you ought to, if you're here tonight, I don't know your background, but if you've got parents that know God, you ought to thank God that they're in church tonight. You ought to thank God to take you to the house of God. You ought to thank God that told you about Jesus. You ought to thank God that you can quote John 3:16. You ought to thank God that you can sing Amazing Grace without a choir book. I'm telling you, God has been good to you in your heritage. Amen.
But I want to give you a little bit of word tonight. You say, Brother Aldridge, I don't have a godly heritage. Well, praise God, it's time for you to start one. Amen. It's time for you to make up in your mind. My family might be a bunch of dope heads and drug addicts. My family might be those that are lost without God, living in sin. But it's time for you to get born again and get serious about serving God and let God use you to change your family's history. Amen. And so you have this great faith and the investments and the older you get, you'll realize how wise your parents are. Amen. I mean, you might argue with them now, but the older you get, you'll find out that my mama and my daddy really did know some things. I mean, you look at us like we're ancient of days, and I'm 42 years young, and that seems like it's just so old and over the hill. But I'm telling you, the people in your life that's got some age, they've been some tracks you ain't been down it. They've walked some miles you ain't walked yet. They've experienced some things you don't know about. And you ought to thank God that God has put some people in your life that know something about God. Amen. Amen, that's right. And by the way, Brother Rochester, I'm not running from my heritage. I'm not going to join this crowd. I feel sorry for me because I had no. I had to go to church and I had to go to Sunday school. If you had to trade places with a drunkard's home tonight, if you had to trade places with a gambler's home tonight, you would thank God for a daddy that knows God. You thank God for a mama that knows God. I'm telling you, God has been good to you. Amen. So here, Moses' faith, the mom and the daddy, they're putting some things into their son's life. I thought about this. In our text, I want to jump in a little bit, verse 23. I want you to notice the parents and their right direction. Now stay with us here. Notice in verse number 23, the Bible said, by faith, Moses, when he was born. Now, there are three different references to his parents in that one verse of what they did. And the interesting thing is this, they were making decisions for Moses when he could not and should not make decisions for himself. Can I say that again? They made some decisions for Moses. You say, well, I'm 13 years old and I'm 14 years old. And I have all of the answers. I know everything about life. I know everything about relationships. And I do realize that probably at 14 years old, you probably are the wisest person to ever live. Probably not. Say amen right there. But what they were doing, they didn't ask Moses, do you want us to salvage your life? They made decisions for him when he didn't know any better. Thank God for some authority in your life that will step in and make some decisions for you when you don't know any better. Amen. Brother Caleb, you ought to thank God that you're not going to get up on Sunday morning and ask, and I'm going somewhere to stay with me. You ought to thank God that you don't have to go ask Brother Carl, Daddy, are we going to church today? You know that you going to church, whether you have to get a whooping or not, you going to the house of God. And I would advise you not to be trying to fight your daddy. Say amen right there. I know you're tough, but you're a little bit, you're wiry, but you're not real big. Amen. I mean, you're getting there. Amen. But I'm just saying. I mean, and there were some. I remember growing up, it was never a question, Daddy, are we going to go to church? It was never a question, are we going to go to the house? What they were doing is they were making some decisions for me when I was not mature enough to make decisions for myself. Now, I want you young people, listen to me for a minute. The pastor that God gave you, the youth pastor God gave you, the Sunday school teacher God gave you, the mama and the daddy that God gave you, the adults in your church that God gave you, they're not there to hurt you. They are there to help you. It is a blessing from God that somebody loves you and somebody cares about you. When you don't have the answers, thank God for some people who do have some answers. Amen. Now, believe it or not, not one parent gave me any money to say that. That won't cost you a dime. Say amen right there. And so here Moses has the benefit. He can't make decisions for himself, and yet somebody will. But here's the interesting thing. That is going to come when somebody, you are going to have to make your decisions. Let me ask you young people something. How many is going to be faithful to Sunday school when it's up to you if you go or not? How many of you're going to go to revival every night when it's your decision about whether or not you go to the house of God. These decisions are being made now for you, but there's coming a day you got to make your own decisions. You got to make your own mind up. And you're going to be holy because you want to be holy. You're going to be spiritual because you want to be spiritual. You're going to be right with God because you want to be right with God. It won't be Brother Aldridge doing it. It won't be Pastor Finney. It won't be Brother Rochester. But there's going to come a day in your life that you got to make some choices. And oh, happy day in your life when your purpose in your heart, I ain't serving God because I'm a teenager. I don't just serve God because of my atmosphere, but I serve God because I love Him. I serve Him because I want Him. And you do it because God gave you a holy want to in your life. Amen, yeah, that's right. And so here Moses is. Now you think about this. When you begin to think about what happened in Exodus chapter number 2, let me just turn there for just a minute. I promise we're going somewhere. Stay with me. In Exodus chapter number 2, we're talking about these decisions. And in Exodus chapter number 2, you consider this for just a moment. The parents, they don't know how to salvage Moses' life. But what they do is they just do all that they can, and then they're trusting God to do what they can't. Is there a mom and daddy in here that realizes that raising kids is not easy? Somebody help me right there. I mean, I know y'all are just some little angels, but I mean, and I know we got the Word of God, but I'm telling you, sometimes I wish there was a little bit more of an instruction manual that you come with. Maybe a reset button. Maybe a barcode to take you back for an... I'm just playing. I ain't going to say it. But the truth... And there's some of you in our youth group, I cannot wait till you become a parent. I cannot wait for some of you to realize how hard it is to feed somebody like you. Brother, I don't know what y'all eating out there, but I'm telling that crowd we brought, but they can put some groceries away. I'm talking about they can put the groceries down. Don't never gain no weight anyway. That's just the benefits of being young. You know, but I'm telling you, you got the benefits of being young. You have all of those things. And here this mom and daddy are, all they know to do is to do what they can. Can I tell you something here tonight? You might not have a perfect mom and daddy, but by the grace of God, they're doing what they can, and then they're believing God to do a work in your life. Won't you think about this for just a minute? Brother David, the truth of it is, if you turn out right, it's going to be because you make some right decisions. It'll be by the grace of God. I can't make you turn out right, but if God gets in your heart and you want Him, hallelujah, when you begin working hand in hand with your mama and you work hand in hand with your daddy, I'm telling you, you will experience the blessings of God in your life. Amen, that's right. Now, so they're doing what they can. When I think about Exodus 2 and verses 1 through 12, they built that ark and they put him in there. They did what they could do. Now, this is the amazing thing about this. When they put him in that little boat, and I'm just paraphrasing to get where we're going. And so, Weezy, when they put him in that ark and they sent him down there, the Bible said when Pharaoh's daughter found him, are you listening? When she found him, that she begins to seek a nurse to take care of him. Well, it just so happened, okay, that when she goes to find him, she finds Moses' mother to take care of him. In other words, she was able to enjoy her child more after she gave the child to God. I'm going to tell you what happened with some of you. Mama and daddy, a long time ago, they knew they needed the help of God, and they do things different than other parents. Your church does things different than other churches, because somewhere along the line, there was a mama and a daddy who said, Lord, we need your help, and I am giving this child to you. I don't know what you're going to do with him. I don't know how you're going to use him, but God, all I know to do is to take this baby and put him in your hands. Some of you don't realize this thing's a whole lot bigger than you. And God has been working to use your life and to make something much out of you. And it ain't going to start tomorrow. It don't start when you're 20. It starts tonight, God, doing something in your life. And then here's what's interesting, sis Rochelle, this is what's interesting, is that after you know, give her to her, and then they said, okay, make sure you pay her. Now, how many of y'all would like to get that paid for taking care of young kids? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I need some back pay, hallelujah. But this is in it. But I thought about this. I was thinking, but you know what? Every mom and daddy in here, there is a payday. When that, come here, when those young people walk the aisle and they marry in the will of God and they marry pure, oh, that is a great payday. With mom and daddy, when you don't have to wonder if they're going to serve God, what a great payday. When they come to you, when your child comes to you and they bring you their Bible and they show you the Word of God, something that God, you know what that is? That's a payday. And I'm telling you, it might not be popular, it might not be fancy, but I'm telling you, doing it God's way is the right way, and all we know to do is to beg God to help us. Some young people, I'm telling you, God has been good to you to give you the things He gave you. Now here's what's interesting about the parents' directions. It's in mom and daddy. You got to read on that chapter. Let me read you some verses. The Bible said in verse 11, this is back in, I believe in Exodus 2 and 11, the Bible said it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, watch it now, one of his brethren. In other words, Moses, as he's coming to years, is beginning to realize, I've got to take sides. Can I tell you something, young people? The older you get, the more you're going to realize you're going to have to take some sides. You're not going to come here now. If you stay in the middle and you pick the wrong side, you are going to miss it. You will never. But I'm telling you, if your purpose tonight, I'm going with God, you will not regret it. Now think about this. He has been raised in Egypt. He's been around the things of Egypt. But when it comes time to make some choices, he does not choose the things of Egypt. He chose the things of God. Miss Shannon, according to that and according to the book of Acts, chapter number 7, I'm not going there. When Moses said that he knew that God had a plan for his life, what that tells me is that when Moses was in Egypt, Egypt never got in Moses. Hey, man, we need some young people tonight that though you live in the world and though you're surrounded by iniquity and though you're surrounded by the wrong kind of choices, we need some young people who don't let the world get into your heart. You don't let the world get into your mind. You don't let the world get on your body. But you purpose in your heart, I'm going to go with God and do it God's way. I can imagine that mama when she had him. I don't know how long she had him, but I can imagine her telling that little boy, I know you're going back, but you listen to me. You don't belong to Egypt. You belong to God. Boy, when you get in there, he said, don't you fall in love with them Egyptian gods? I'm telling you, there's a greater God than him. When you go back in there, you don't go down, you don't get to looking like Egypt. You don't go down there smelling like Egypt. You don't go down there going to Egypt's parties. I want to remind you something, Moses, you may be down there, but God's got a plan for your life. God's got purpose for you. God didn't birth you to be somebody caught up in the world, but God brought you in this world with purpose, and God's got a plan, and God wants to use you. It's high time some of you young folks say goodbye to Egypt. Goodbye to the world. Goodbye to what you have. I belong to God and I'm going with God. Amen. Now you think about this. Here Moses is. So you get that foundational thing. Now the interesting thing is that now that he is making those choices, the Bible records the choices, and I got to hurry. Let me give you a few things. Notice, if you will, Moses had parents that knew God. Moses had protection in his life. Moses had principles in his life. Because of those things, I notice in verse 24, Moses has a righteous rebellion in his heart. Look, if you will, in verse number 24 again of Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, watch it, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The word refuse means to deny, to reject. And it means to deny oneself. For Moses, there was no identity crisis. Amen. Can I say that again? Moses was not having an identity crisis where, let me see if I can be like Egypt on this side and be like God's people. Moses said when he came to years, he refused to be identified with Egypt. We need some young people who in your motives, in your future, in your courtship, in your devotions, in your private life, in your hobbies, that you will purpose in your heart, I do not want to be identified with Egypt. In other words, Moses made a choice to start living and letting people know who he belonged to. Young people, listen to me. Does the world know who you belong to? Hey, man, come here now. Listen, we didn't just come together for a little pep talk. We're looking for a generation that God can use. We're looking for a sort of, listen, if you try to blend in, if you try to well, I'm just going to get by, no. As some of you just need to go ahead and let everybody at school know you're not going to Egypt. You don't worship Egypt. You don't love Egypt, but you love God. You love the things of God. I promise you, hallelujah, it might be some hard steps to take, but it will be worth it all if you'll turn your back on Egypt and make a beeline for God. Identity crisis. Moses, when he looks at how in the world, what did he do? He refused. Notice this secondly, not only did we find a righteous rebellion, the second thing I notice he's righteous in his understanding. Look at verse number 25. Watch it. The Bible said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, watch it, for a set season. In other words, Moses was understanding of the fact that sin did have pleasure. The Bible tells us that. But I want to say something, that if the world has ever thrown everything it had at a man, it was Moses. And Moses said no to it all. Hallelujah. You listen to me, young people. The world is going to throw everything it has at you. Come here now. And here's what, Miss Mason, here's what the devil does. What he does is he remembers what was it that all of a sudden enticed my curiosity. Oh, let me say it this way. Help me right here, Lord. He remembers what you clicked on. He remembers the type of people you draw. And when he sees that in your life, he's going to keep bringing that before you. Because you got to remember, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But can I remind you, here's what he's doing, Miss Shannon. He is trading in a life that brings pleasure for a season and trading that for a God who in Psalm 68:19, the Bible said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. He realized how far Egypt could take him, and he understood that, hallelujah, God could take him further than Egypt could. He realized that Egypt could fill his body, but thank God Egypt could never fill his soul. He had done found something a whole lot better than alcohol. He found something a whole lot better than drugs. He found something a whole lot better than the wine. He found something a whole lot better than a relationship. He found something a whole lot better than gambling. He found something a whole lot better than fornication. But he found it all in a man named Jesus. And when you meet him, your search is over for satisfaction. A season. Can I just tell you this, that he's not, oh hallelujah, I'm thinking about today how the devil will bring that pleasure for a season. But I love that old song, season by season I watch him amazed. Whoop, hallelujah, Lord. Hey, I'm telling you about some seasons. Sis, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have any bad days. I'd be lying if I said there weren't some hard times. Young people, I know that my difficulties are different than your difficulties. I understand that. But I know you have hard days, and I know you have burdens, and I know you fight your flesh, and you fight your mind, and you fight your body. But I am here to tell you tonight, thank God it's worth it all to serve God. I'm telling you, you'll never be satisfied in the world. The world is not the answer. Egypt is not the answer. Carnality is not the answer. Sin is not the answer. Have it make you a beeline to a man named Jesus, and you'll find out he is good for the journey. He's good in your teenage years. He's good in your 20s. He's good in your 30s. He's good in your 40s and 50s. I'm telling you, he is good for all the seasons of life. Watch it. Not only do I find him righteous in his understanding, but quickly I find him righteous in his choosing. Just simple. Stay with me. I'm about done. We're going to eat something in just a minute. Something. I don't know. I'd have been through downtown Packup. Might be eating some French fried possum in just a minute. Say amen right there. Yeah. But I'm telling you, my crowd, it won't bother them a bit. Say amen right there. Let me tell you why God's drawn me to the text. You preachers know this. You go through, but man, God will bear, when you're walking through, God will bury something in your heart. Look at verse 20 and 25. Look at verse 20 and 25. Read it with me again. Here's what he said. 25, verse number 25 and 26. I'm sorry. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Can I just say it all for just a moment? Notice he found the word esteeming, meaning to weigh it out and to contemplate it. So here's what Moses did. Moses stepped back and he began to weigh out what the people of God were going through, and he began to weigh out what they had down there in Egypt. Then the Bible said, it notes that he looks at the affliction and he looks at the reproach. He looks at the people of God, and while he's looking at them, he sees their hardships, he sees their suffering, and he looks at all the, in other words, he looks at them as one of the worst times in Israel's history and what they're going through. And he comes to this conclusion, the recompense of the reward. What is the outcome of that? Moses looked at the lives of God's people, and he looked at the lives of the Egyptians, and he said, I tell you what, I'd rather have Jesus. He's been there for so long in Egypt, and he realized what the home looks like and the future looks like, and he realized all the sin. He looks at all those things, and he looks over toward the people of God who are being oppressed and who are suffering, and he looks at them and he says, I tell you what, I've come to the conclusion, I would rather be suffering with the people of God, I would rather be numbered with God's people than to have every single thing that Egypt has to give. Can I tell you something tonight, child of God? Oh, listen, you have seen what the world has to offer. You've seen how the world treats its children. You've seen marriages in the world. You've seen dead ends in the world. You've seen the hopelessness in the world. And when Moses looked at Egypt, he said, I'm telling you, the people of God have something better. The people of God have a peace. The people of God have joy. Oh, happy day in your life when you purpose in your heart, I would rather have Jesus than to have everything the world has to give. Can I tell you this? He'll pick you up and never let you down. He'll quench your thirst and you'll never be thirsty. He'll give you bread from heaven that'll satisfy your soul. He'll be the dearest friend that you've ever had. He'll be your joy in the valley. He'll be your eagle on the mountaintop. He'll put food in your belly, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet. He'll be everything and more than it said it would be. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Watch it now. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. Don't need the NFL, don't need the MLB, don't need the NBA, don't need the spotlight, don't need the world's riches, don't need the political halls, don't have to have man's applause. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be a preacher than anything I know. I'd rather be a Christian. I'd rather be a member of the First Baptist Church of Coniston than anything I know. I'd rather be married to my Weezy than anything I know. I love my three babies, and the thing I know, He's better. He's better. Help me now. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey than out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus. And watch it now. And let Him lead. Help me now. Than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather let me ask you something tonight. Would you rather have Him than anything? If you could, oh, if you could have the guy you've been looking at, would you rather have Jesus or that guy? Would you rather have Jesus or that girl? Would you rather have Jesus or that job? Would you rather have Jesus than popularity? Would you rather have Jesus than riches? I tell you what God's trying to do is to get you out of love with Egypt. I realize the downtrodden, but but if you ever see how wonderful Jesus is, if you ever see how holy Jesus is, if you ever see how lovely Jesus is, everything else is second rate. Everything else is second choice. Everything else is the hog pen. And Jesus is better. Watch it. Not only do you find His righteous choosing, I'm about done. Notice His reverence for God. In verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Forsook. You hold that word, forsook. The word forsook means to leave it in your past. To cease to care for it. To leave it alone. It means for a ship to sail past a port without stopping. Can I stop here for just a minute? It means that you got your eyes on Him. Got your eyes on Him. And you don't even know what's going on around you. Nope, ain't got time for that. Nope, ain't got time for Him. Ain't got time for that. Oh, there's a great opportunity over here. Watch it now. Oh, no, I'm sailing right on past. A young person like that will stick out. A young person like that will have the touch of God on their life. A young person like that ain't going to fit in anywhere in this world except with other saints of God that have made up in their mind, I'm going with Jesus. Watch it now. Here's what he said. He said, you ready? He said in verse 27, he said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, the way that he was able to not be afraid of the king. And by the way, if you look back up in verse number 23, mama and daddy were not afraid of the king's commandment.
Did you get that? Did you get that? That means there was a generation before him that had a boldness and a hunger for God, and they would rather, listen, they'd rather lose their life than displease Jesus. That's what I'm praying for among these young people today. But it's interesting, the Bible said the way he endured it as seeing him who was invisible, meaning there were some things that Moses was enjoying that nobody else could see. Brother Ben, Moses, why are you doing that, Moses? I could tell you. I'm going to try to tell you. But you're not going to, I can't tell it, and you can't even see it. Only thing you can do is experience it. Brother Kenneth, I'm talking about, I got some treasures you can't see. Brother J.D., Brother J.D., I don't know if you got like a lot of money, or if you got like some family with like a lot of riches, some houses and lands and all that kind of stuff. I hope you do. I hope you tithe and that you love other visiting preachers a lot. Brother J.D., I don't know. I don't know what you do got and don't got, but it don't matter. Your greatest riches are things I can't even see. Brother Gomez, June the 12th, 1995, I met the man who is the title deed holder to peace. And he made residence in my heart, Danny. Macy, when I knelt down at that little altar at a youth camp, got born again at youth camp, I'm not my preacher's kid, you know, because you know how mean we were, are. I knelt down, sis, and I got joy. Whew. Matter of fact, it's in there, and sometimes it gets to bubbling out.
Hey, man.
Hey, guess what? He's in me and I'm in him.
Amen.
I ain't seen heaven yet. That's okay. I done seen it through the eyes of faith. Moses said, I had something that everybody else couldn't see, but what everybody else couldn't see is what kept me from going after what everybody else was going after. Well, how long has it been since you've seen young people had so much God on them, had such a desire for God, that it made even their own youth group nervous around them?
Amen.
Just in love with him. Yes, sir. Amen. I got to hurry. I'm about done. Watch it. Notice in verse 28 and 29, here's what I'm going to get to. Through faith, he kept the Passover, speaking of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith, to pass through the Red Sea, by dry land with the Egyptians, the saying to do or drown. God got him out of Egypt so that God could send him back to Egypt and lead his people out. I wrote this down last night, or sent it to myself last night, wrote it down today. God took Moses to great heights. Surely among us tonight, there has got to be a young person that God's calling out to be a Moses. Young men, I'm calling out the young man, the manhood in you, to die to yourself and to live for Christ. Young ladies, I'm calling out, listen to me, I'm calling out that begging you tonight to die, listen, die to self. Die to self. Let Egypt die all around you so that you can live in Christ. Preaching it out on I'd rather have Jesus, because I'd rather have Jesus than anything. What do you want? If you got what you wanted tonight, I mean, if you got it, I mean, it landed right around, would it be more of him or would it be more of you? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed.